Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Greetings, everyone. I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity, going to live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by A Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. You want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to TWatson.com under the Programs and Products page. Click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing episode today? Joining me, I have the one and only Dr. Ebony January. How you doing?
I'm good. Welcome. How are you?
Show. I'm doing great. And I appreciate you joining me. Where are you joining me from, Doc?
I'm in St. Louis right now.
St. Louis. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Appreciate you joining me. So for the folks out there who may not necessarily know who you are, can you briefly introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Dr. Ebony January. I'm a board certified physician and surgeon. I'm OBGYN by trade, but I'm also an award-winning author, and I'm a health and success coach.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, so you guys need to track her down if you're looking for a coach. What's the best way to get a hold of you if they're looking for to connect with you?
So they can connect with me on Instagram. My Instagram is Dr. Ebony January. That's Dr. spelled out. That's Ebony with an I. Or they can simply email me at DrEJ@DrEJ.com, and that's Dr. spelled out on both ends.
I love it. And what's the name of your book, Dr. Ebony?
The name of my book is The Educational Athlete, Why Every Successful Student Needs a Coach.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So folks, be sure to get that book and get you a coach as well. No better coach than someone who's been there, done it. So Dr. Ebony, as you know, this podcast kind of centers on bringing amazing people like you on who have overcome obstacles and who are willing to come in and share their stories of courage with our audience. So I'm going to start with my first question. So what's been the biggest obstacle you have had to overcome personally or professionally?
Well, I'll start with professionally and then we can talk about personal. But professionally, you know, I'm from East St. Louis, Illinois. And so obviously I didn't know a ton of doctors, you know, in around me. So going off to college and then medical school had to be one of the biggest obstacles. And then I would say on top of that was residency training in the state of Missouri, unfortunately. I would say it was the most difficult thing that I ever had to encounter professionally. You know, the road to becoming a physician was not easy. And so when you go on to residency training where you're working 120 hours a week to deal with that on top of fighting people who don't necessarily like you just based off of what you look like, the color of your skin. So that was one of the most difficult things that I ever had to encounter professionally.
Wow. That's amazing. And you were going to mention your personal one as well. What was your personal one?
So personally, and this is an ongoing process, is I grew up with a mother addicted to alcohol. So personally, that's been something that I've had to overcome just because I've been dealing with that since the age of 14. At 14, I left my mother's house with just the clothes on my back. And, you know, just not having that I've had a mother figure, but not my own mother, and essentially being a parent to my own parent has been the most difficult thing that I've had to overcome personally, you know, especially, you know, you're needing some support when you're on this difficult road to becoming a physician. You don't know anybody, you don't know anything about it other than what, you know, what you've read and what you've done research, and you know, you want that support. And so that has really been difficult for me personally. It's just not necessarily having the support that I really, really wanted and needed from my own mother.
Absolutely. And you know, that's a very important point. And I appreciate you being so transparent about that as well. You know, my sisters have all mentioned the same thing with our mom not being there as well. So talk to me as a young lady, what's the feelings that someone has to kind of endure when you're growing up in a situation where you don't feel that motherly presence from the one who brought you into this world?
Yeah, well, you know, I would say that you mature very fast.
Okay.
You know, it's depending on the type of person that you are, right? Because some people handle adversity different. You know, me personally, I was one of those people that was self-motivated. And so I just had to keep going. You know, I felt like, you know, I could not let her addiction stop the things that I wanted to accomplish in my life. And so what her addiction did for me was it motivated me and showed me what I did not want to become.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously it leaves a void as a young lady that, you know, you really want that mother to do those girly things with, you know, going to get your nails done, going to get, you know, your toes done, or, you know, going shopping together. And then even when you encounter difficult things as a young lady growing up as a teen, you know, you want that mother figure to talk to, you know, with, and you don't necessarily have that. You know, sure, I had my father who was there, but that's different. You know, my dad was an athlete. And so, you know, he's a man. And yeah. So that's just kind of, you know, discussing those kind of things, womanly issues, you know, coming of age is very difficult. And so you want to be able to talk with a mother figure about that. And I remember even going off to college, how my friends' parents, they would come up, or mom would come up and, you know, cook for everybody. Right. And I didn't have that. Right. You know, same thing with medical school. I had some of my friends, their parents would come and they'd stay a week. Yeah. And I didn't necessarily have that with regards to my mother. So, at times it was difficult, but I, you know, I had to keep pushing. I had to figure it out. And in the interim, you know, growing up, I got very close to my grandmother. And so she definitely really filled that void. And she knew, you know, how her daughter was, and she knew what she needed to do as a grandmother. And so she really did step in and took over that role, you know? And so that, therefore, I'm, you know, always grateful. You know, she recently passed, but that really helped.
Yeah. And, you know, grandmothers are very special. And I appreciate you sharing that. What are some of the coping mechanisms that you turn to during this time to kind of keep yourself going, moving forward?
So honestly, one is being around family, and then really doing the things that, that make me happy, right? Being an OBGYN, obviously, it's an amazing field to be in. But one of the things that I feel has been my purpose was helping people, you know, whether it's business coaching, health coaching. So I really had started pouring myself into that as a coping mechanism as an adult and as a young adult. You know, I did a lot of volunteering, you know, from a teenage years. I would probably say at age 17, I started, you know, volunteering and really getting out there in the community and doing certain things. So it really, helping other people is what helped me to cope with all the things I have been going through.
That's awesome. Now, as you were going through this, and even now, have you had mentors or guides to kind of help you navigate the waters of not having that motherly figure there for you?
Honestly, I would say that it definitely had to be my grandmother who helped me. You know, she took me to church. You know, I went to church with her every Sunday. And even when I would come home from college, when I would come home from medical school, you know, I was at church with her. You know, she was on the health board, and, you know, I was there. She'd get there probably an hour before I did, and I was there with her every Sunday. So I would have to say it definitely was my grandmother, because, you know, there were times when I called home from medical school, like, I can't do this. And she's like, you better get it together and call me back. Yeah. So really, it was my grandmother who helped me get through this difficult time.
Right. Kudos to grandma out there as well. What's your grandmother's name?
Her name was Christine.
Awesome. Grandma Christine. I know she's resting in peace, but awesome. Hey, so on your darkest day, you know, growing up as a teenager in this situation, again, you know, as teenagers, we don't have it all figured out. What kept you going? Because a lot of teenagers in those situations who don't persevere through it. What kept you going on your darkest day?
Absolutely. I would say the thing that kept me going the most was family. I have five brothers and sisters.
Oh, really?
And so, okay. Oh, yeah. And we're very close. So I think that just knowing that I had, you know, them definitely is what kept me going. And they also, I always tell students growing up that I remember my why, you know, why I was doing things. So anytime I hit a rock in the road, anytime I encounter something that was difficult, anytime I encounter failure, I always remember my why. And to me, my why is my family. And so having siblings is what really kept me going.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. I love it. And then, you know, looking back on the situation today, how would you say it all shaped you as a person?
Oh, listen, it definitely made me the person that I am today. You know, a lot of times you want the course to be really smooth, you know, whatever your goal is, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be college. It doesn't have to be being a doctor or being a lawyer, whatever your goal may be. It may be weight loss. It may be to even purchase a car. There's going to be some tough times. There's going to be something that is going to potentially get in your way or has the potential to stop whatever it is that you're trying to achieve. However, I think that those difficult times is what really shapes you, and it really sets the foundation for other things, like major things that you aim to accomplish in the future. So knowing that, you know, how you are able to move in adversity, how you're able to deal with it, will actually set you up for the bigger goal, your bigger accomplishment. So I think that it really shaped who I was to know that, you know what, if I've been through this, I can go through anything. And that actually, you know, the first question that you asked was, what is something that the hardest thing that you've had to overcome personally and professionally? So I would say that personally overcoming that is what helped me to overcome what that struggle professionally, right? Yeah. Because to me, my family is the most important thing in my life. So professionally, what I had to just understand was that there's nothing that you can do to hurt me,
right?
Because I've been hurt the most that I could hurt dealing with what I dealt with my mother, you know, and family is the most important thing. So professionally, there's nothing that you can do that's going to stop me. And I know that I've been through this, so I can get through that as well.
Absolutely. What a great perspective. And I hope my listeners out there listening to that, I mean, that the things that you're going through prepare you for a lot of those challenges to come later on in life as well. You know,
absolutely.
So who introduced you to the concept of or possibility of being a doctor? How'd you
get there? The Cosby Show.
Okay. Bill Cosby.
At first, I wanted to be a lawyer. And it's funny, my stepmom tells me still to this day that I should have been an attorney. But but then, you know, I really got introduced to the body when my stepmother was pregnant with my younger sister. Mm-hmm. And essentially, at the same time, it was interesting that at the same time, when she was, you know, her belly was getting bigger and she was getting close to delivery, was around the same time that my grandmother on my father's side was very ill. And mm-hmm. I watched, she had 14 kids.
Wow.
So I watched her girls take care of her, you know, bathe her, clothe her, change her. And so just to watch the two, this just kind of like the circle of life.
Right.
And to watch my stepmother, you know, she's getting ready to have my younger sister, and also my grandmother who had birthed all of these children, to see how her body changed and the bodies changed. That was around the age of 14. And that's when I decided to Wow. become a physician. So that's when I said, you know what, I'm going to deliver babies. And then really what kept me interested was when I did my research to know that as an OBGYN, you don't just deliver babies, you know, you do surgery. And you also do a lot of primary care, because you, in general, you know, you have to be healthy. Your general health has to be on point when you are as a woman who may go on to deliver a baby, or as you age and may develop fibroids and things like that and may need surgery. So it helps me to, it really is every day that when I went into the office and worked full time, every day I may have walked into a different room and saw something completely different. And I was able to do such diverse things, you know, so I could do a minor procedure in the office. I can go to the main OR and do something. I can treat high blood pressure, diabetes, anxiety, the whole shebang. So I think that when I start getting more interested in it is what really made me feel like, okay, this is what I really want to do with my life. But the foundation was one, just seeing, you know, a Black family on TV that had a lawyer and a doctor. And then, you know, subsequently when I saw my grandmother, you know, who became very ill, and then my stepmother who was, you know, giving life to my younger sister, that's what really molded me and said, you know what, I'm going to be a doctor.
That's awesome. So does your stepmother think you're always arguing with people? Is that why you need to become a lawyer? Are you always the one who's
No.
arguing? Okay.
No, I'm not. It's just the opposite. I'm not one of those people to argue. However, I can make a very valid point. And she says that, you know, you can say it very in an eloquent way.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, like I'm one of those people who can be very direct, but also show you the bigger picture and have evidence to support it. So not necessarily the arguing side of things, but more so to articulate a point, a valid point.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. So, you know, Dr. Ebony, as you look back on your journey today, would you do anything differently?
You know, as far as being a doctor, I would say one of the things that actually almost made me not go into the particular field, not necessarily not become a doctor, but consider going into a different field, was when I went off to medical school and I started doing my clinical rotations. I was really, really interested in child psychiatry. And that's when I really teetered on the side of becoming a psychiatrist. And so I almost questioned whether I should have done that. And in actuality, I do a lot of psychiatry in the office, dealing with people and dealing with coaching.
Yeah. So you're getting the best of both worlds anyhow, right? It all worked out.
Exactly. So I really battled with that in medical school. And now when I look back at it, I would say, man, I should have been a psychiatrist. I should have been a psychiatrist. However, there are other things that I can use even that foundation for to utilize those skills. So then I said, you know what? Now I'm in the right field.
Absolutely. You're doing both of them as well. So, you know, Dr. Ebony, we're coming off of 2020. It's been a tough year for a lot of folks, man. People lost jobs, lost loved ones, lost possessions, lost finances, lost hope in many situations. What words of encouragement can you give those folks, let them know that a brighter day is going to come?
So with the same thing that, you know, I said earlier with regards to how I was able to overcome things professionally, which is that you've been through worse. You've been through the worst of it.
Yeah.
So now what? There's only, up from here.
Yeah.
There really is, because we've seen the worst of things. Yes. And people have learned to pivot. So it's either sink or swim.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's what people need to understand, is that you've been through the worst. And understand one thing that I've always told myself for many years is that there's someone out there doing worse than you. And what you think is a severe problem for you is nothing compared to what other people are dealing with. So I just think that we have to stay the course and understand that you've been through worse, and continue to persevere, and also to remember your why. You have to remember your why. Figure out what that is. When I do goal setting workshops with youth, the first thing I have them to do is to write down their goal. The second thing I have them write down is their why, and actually to write that above the goal. Because when times get tough, in order to accomplish the goal, you have to remember that why. And so the same thing, in the state that we're in right now, the state of our community, is that we just have to remember our why and remember that we've been through worse.
Absolutely. Very well said, Dr. Ebony. Hey, if folks want to get a hold of you again, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
So you can email me, DrEJ@DrEJ.com. And remember, that's doctor spelled out. And also you can follow me on Instagram as Dr. Ebony January. That's doctor spelled out and Ebony with an I. Those are some of the best ways. On Facebook, I'm Dr. EJ, and that's doctor spelled out as well.
Awesome. Awesome. So Dr. Ebony, we've talked about some tough stuff. You ready to have a little fun?
Yeah.
All right. This part of our show is called Rapid Fire Purpose Questions. So I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions about your why and your purpose. I'm not going to elaborate on any of the questions. I want you to give me and the audience your best answer. All right, okay. You ready? All right, here we go.
I'm ready.
Dr. Ebony, give us an example how you have turned a dream into reality.
I'm a doctor. So I'm a doctor from East St. Louis, dreaming from a dream to reality.
Yeah, I love it. What gives your life meaning?
My family does.
What one word best describes you?
Discipline.
Okay, good. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
World peace. No, I'm kidding. I want to change the narrative for our youth. I want to show them something different than what they see on reality TV.
Yeah, I love it. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Go fishing with my family.
Really? Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, I got a bunch of lakes out there in East St. Louis.
Oh, it's just one big one. East St. Louis is not that big.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
Vacation.
Yeah. That comes in handy for everybody, right? What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
Exactly what I'm doing.
Okay, that's good. Who inspires you the most?
That's a great question. I would have to say my grandmother.
Good. I love it. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
I need to go to Bora Bora ASAP.
Okay. All right, good. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Working out.
Okay, good. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you someday?
That she was funny and that she was a cool grandma.
Who worked out, right?
Who worked out.
That's right. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Oh, I like to be able to disappear.
Disappear, okay. All right, that's a good one. Good one. What's something about yourself that we might be surprised to learn about you?
I was in the Miss St. Louis pageant in 99.
Okay, that's good.
I always forget about it.
How did you fare?
I placed in the top 10, actually. And I was going to go to the national competition, but I decided to go to college instead.
All right, there you go.
It would have interfered, so.
Yeah. Awesome, love it. If we were to walk around your house right now, what would I see that would reveal to me what it is that you love?
Shoes.
Shoes everywhere, huh? Lots of shoes, yeah. Mm-hmm. What sparks your creativity?
Actually working on this. Okay.
If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Oh, that's a good question. No speeding.
No speeding, okay.
I mean, it's already a law, but like, seriously, like, just like, you cannot go over 2 miles over the speed limit.
Wow. Because,
I'm back and forth in Miami a lot. And I must say, people, they don't like to live, apparently.
Yeah. I think that'd be a tough one right there. I don't know if I'd vote you in office for that one right there. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Who would it be? I think I thought about this the other day. And I think that I will probably follow around 50 Cent. He is one, he's hilarious. And I love his business sense. I think that he's very driven. I think he's very focused. And so that's a quality that I see in myself. So I'd like to follow him around. And he's also funny. So yeah. I'd like to follow him around and see what he does on a day-to-day basis.
Awesome. What do you love to do for others?
Gifts. I am a huge gift giver. I like to surprise people.
Okay.
That's one of the things I love to do.
Okay. Speaking of gifts, what's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
The gift of life.
Okay, good. What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
I don't like compliments at all. but one of the best that I've received, one that was that I had a big heart and that I would go on to do great things.
Oh, I love it. No better way to be described. Yeah. What's the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Take risks.
Okay. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
I think I'm most proud of standing up for my brother when he was being bullied. He probably don't even remember this.
Okay. What's his name?
Dan.
You better show your sister love. She took care of you, boy. That's good.
Well, he could stand up for himself, but I'm a protector by nature. Yeah. And so he's much bigger than I am, but it was just, it's just my nature to be a protector.
Right.
And so I'm sure he didn't even need my help.
Great sister. I love it. What does success look like for you?
Success for me means to be able to take my family on vacation, all expense paid, whenever they want, for as long as they want. That's success to me.
I love it. I love that. You have to adopt me into your family. I want to go on some trips with y'all. Right? What are you most grateful for?
I'm grateful for the ability to just be able to see the world. I've been able to travel, see different parts of the world. And, you know, I'm very grateful for that. You know, I've been practicing more gratitude lately because I'm one of those people who super, super, super driven. And I always say, you know, in order to accomplish that big, you know, success, you know, where I'm being able to take my family wherever they want to go, whenever they want to go, I have to first practice gratitude and understand that I've been very blessed and I've been able to see things that other people have not been able to see and the things that people aspire to see. So I'm definitely grateful to have even seen the world.
Awesome. I love it. What's been the biggest lesson you've learned in life?
I've learned to vet people out.
Yeah.
Wow. That everything that glitters is not gold, yes. But to vet.
Yes. That's a great lesson. Folks out there, take that to heart. Yes, yes.
Yes.
And then last but not least, how do you want to be remembered in history?
I want to be remembered for someone, honestly, who really has had such a large impact on youth and young adults. And really have changed the way that they see success and that they see how to achieve it, you know, to see that you don't necessarily need to dribble a ball or marry someone who dribbles a ball in order to achieve success or even be a rapper, you know. That's what we see a lot today on TV, and unfortunately our kids think that that's the only way. And I want to make sure that they understand that there has been a doctor from a city that's not so great that has been able to leave a huge impact on the world.
That's right. I love it. Dr. Ebony, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause. Awesome job. That wasn't too bad, was it?
No, not too bad.
Awesome job. Folks out there, I hope you're inspired by Dr. Ebony January's story. Amazing person. Be sure to reach out to her again if they want to get a hold of you. What's the best way to do that?
So they can email me at DrEJ@DrEJ.com. Once again, that's Dr. spelled out. Or you can follow me on Instagram. That's Dr. Ebony January, Dr. spelled out, Ebony with an I. On Facebook, I'm Dr. EJ. And you can go to any of my websites, www.educationalathlete.com or www.bossishprotein.com as well.
And she's a busy lady. She's doing a lot of things out there, folks. And last but not least, Dr. Ebony, our show centers on a couple things, purpose and resilience. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resilience?
One, I think that figuring out your purpose is one of the best feelings that you'll ever have in your life. And just because you go to school for it does not necessarily mean that it's your purpose. Okay. And that with regards to purpose, you can be more than one thing. I went and saw Michelle Obama when she was on tour. And the one thing, like, I'm one of those people, I don't need to be motivated by anybody. I'm self-motivated. But the thing that I took from what she said was that you can be more than one thing. She went to these Ivy League schools to become an attorney, and she doesn't practice law, you know, because she realized that her purpose was something focused on, you know, community. And so I think that when people need to understand that there's a difference between purpose and what your career is, may potentially, you know, and they could be combined, but they don't necessarily have to be. And just because you do one does not mean that you don't have to do another. And in order to achieve those things and to be successful in those two things, you do have to be resilient. And in order to be resilient, you have to remember your why.
Yes, very well said, Dr. Ebony January. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I appreciate you. Folks out there, if you're someone who has an amazing story of overcoming, I want to invite you to come to our show and share your story, TAWatson.com. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. And once again, Dr. Ebony January, big shout out to you. Thank you very much for joining us. And everyone else out there, peace, God bless, and deuces, everyone.
Yours truly,
Dr. Watson.